Hello, Symphony Church. We are continuing in our journey through the book of Revelation, and today we will be reading Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum, write the words of him who has a sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. So it's at this point in John's vision that Jesus begins to address each of the seven churches of Asia that the book of Revelation centers on. And in today's passage, there are four that are addressed: the church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, the church in Pergamum, and the church in Thyatira. And each of Jesus's words to these churches follow a pretty similar pattern. First, Jesus recognizes each church's circumstances, how They've been persevering and enduring and staying faithful and devoted despite hardship and trial. I remember this was a time of fierce tribulation and persecution from the churches as they faced external opposition and internal turmoil. And so Jesus says that he sees the ways that these churches are still living and acting in a manner that is pleasing to him, a way that honors him. But Jesus also points out a fault, points a demerit in each of these churches. He says, but I have this against you. For the church in Ephesus, it was abandoning their first love. For the church in Smyrna, it was the coming suffering that they were to endure. For the church in Pergamum, it was pursuing false teachings. And for the church in Thyatira, it was a specific woman by the name of Jezebel. For each of these, Jesus calls upon the churches to address these issues and to correct them in order to live completely in his will once again. Now, although these specific circumstances and challenges are not necessarily present in our context, what we can learn from Revelation 2 is how our Lord tends to his church. I think often we can fall into the trap of evaluating a person's standing, or a church's standing for that matter, before God as an all or nothing kind of thing. You know, we're either doing good, thriving, everything's going well, or we're doing bad, struggling in sin, not running the race, etc. For example, I've heard it often taught that the Corinthian church was bad. You should know the Corinthian church to be a bad church. Lots of problems that Paul had to address, lots of rebukes that he had to hand out. And on the flip side, the Thessalonians were a good church, faithful, hungry for more. Paul always thanked God for them. And so we see that it was often all or nothing. At least that's what we think. But we see in Jesus's words in our passage today to the churches that he sees all. He sees the good and he sees the bad. The shortcomings don't blind him to the fruit that's worth celebrating. And the praise reports don't cover up the blind spots and the dark parts that need addressing. He is Jesus, after all. He knows his bride. And through Jesus's words, we can understand that to be a church that is obeying him and following after his heart, we also need to see both the good and the bad in ourselves. To recognize the ways that he has faithfully been growing us, to rejoice in the ways that we are strong, and also to confront the ways that we are weak, areas of complacency, of worldliness. And of course, the ultimate reason we do this, the reason we strive to be a church after God's own heart, is because our goal is to prepare for Christ's return. Just as a bride prepares to be united to her groom on their wedding day, and she makes all the preparations necessary to present herself as beautifully as she can, we should also desire to continually work toward goodness and devotion, so that when he does come, we're ready for him, blameless, having grown in the ways that delight him, having done away with the areas that are opposite him. And so how will you take part in embracing this reality in our church? You know, as the year draws to an end, what are some ways that you've seen Symphony grow in your microchurch, in your family group? What are some ways that perhaps we need to do a little bit of cleaning to better prepare for Christ's return? And in both the good and the bad, how will you join in making that happen? As we reflect on these things today, let's go to him in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who does not evaluate us as completely good or as completely bad, because the truth is there's always things that are both. Lord, help us to understand your heart, a heart that desires for us to continue to draw nearer and nearer to you. And that means both celebrating the good and also addressing the bad. Lord, would you open our eyes to see that in our church? Would you empower us to make a difference to speak up, to take ownership of all the different ways that you can use us to better prepare your bride. So Lord, I pray strength over each and every one of my brothers and sisters today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.